Hey, I'm glad Pastor Mike is watching because I am so excited. I met Pastor Mike's dear sweet mama, and she told me stories, and I can't wait to get back on the radio. Pastor Mike. Woo! Anyway, I am James Collins from Southwest Radio Ministries. For those of you that missed the Sunday school hour this morning, I'm a retired Army chaplain. I am the staff evangelist now for Southwest Radio Ministries. We are the oldest continuing broadcast ministry in the world since 1933, almost 90 years now. We have been on the air proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 13. Mark's Gospel chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Today I'd like to talk about the rapture of the church. I believe that the rapture of the church is one of the most misunderstood doctrines in Christianity today. The rapture is described in 1 Thessalonians 4. There the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you. Today I want to look at some of the signs that Jesus said to look for from the Gospel of Mark chapter 13. These are the signs that Jesus said to look for just before he returns to rapture his church. Do you remember when you were a little kid and you played the game hide and seek? Game hide and seek kind of went like this. There was a kid who was chosen to be it. And the kid who was it would be the seeker. The rest of us would be hiders. Remember that? And while he was, the person who was it would close his eyes, usually count to 20. While he was counting to 20, the rest of us would run and hide. And then the person who was it, when he got to 20, he would open up his eyes and he would shout, "Ready or not, here I come." Well, just like in that game, hide and seek, one day Jesus is going to return. There'll be a shout. Today I'm preaching on this subject, wake up, ready or not, here he comes. Wake up. Ready or not, here he comes. From Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. From Mark, chapter 13, beginning at verse 3. There the Bible says, "And as he, Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?' And Jesus answering them began to say, 'Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and trouble. These are the beginnings of sorrows,' the Bible says. Then drop down in your Bible to verse 32. Drop down to verse 32. There the Bible says, 'But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say to all, watch.'" God, I ask for that I cannot buy, that I cannot borrow. Lord, that I cannot work up. Lord, I ask for a fresh touch. God, I pray that you hide me behind a bloodstained cross and that I'll preach today as a dying man to a dying people. Lord, I pray that your saints will be blessed in their faith and grow in their faith And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision for you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, Lord, I pray that they'll make that decision today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I still love the story about the young man who came into some money. And when he came into some money, the first thing he did was he went out and he bought a brand new Jaguar automobile. The young man had just picked up that fancy Jaguar car, and he was driving it out on a highway outside of a small town. He was driving about 120 miles an hour in that souped-up sports car when he saw two older men. And these two older men were standing out there, and they were holding up a crudely painted sign. The sign said, "Turn around, the end is near. Turn around, the end is near." Well, the young man in the Jaguar pulled up and he screeched to a stop next to the two men with the sign. And he said, "I'm so sick and tired of you religious nuts, you bunch of country bumpkins that cling to your guns and your religion and your Bibles and stuff like that. I'm so sick and tired of you unsophisticated rednecks. I can't stand fools like you." And then he put the pedal to the metal and he spun gravel all over those two men and their sign, and he sped out going down the road. Car sped over the hill going 100 miles an hour. All of a sudden there was a terrible screech, a terrible sound of a crash. You could hear the young man as he drove that Jaguar over a cliff, that he was screaming as he crashed that car into the river below. The two men with the sign looked at each other. Finally, one of them said, "Maybe we ought to change the sign. Instead of putting 'the end is near,' maybe we ought to just put 'the bridge is out.'" Now, the point of that story is this. I don't know if the bridge is out, but I do believe that the end is near. I believe that Jesus Christ is going to come very soon. All the signs point to the soon return of Jesus Christ. The first time, Jesus came as a baby. The next time, he is coming, glory hallelujah, as the bridegroom. The first time, he came in a cradle. The next time, he's coming in the clouds. The first time, he woke up sleeping shepherds. An angel woke up sleeping shepherds. The next time, he himself will wake up sleeping in the grave. The first time wise men crossed the desert to see him. The next time millions of believers will cross the sky to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. The Bible tells us, watch out, ready or not, here he comes. That's exactly what Jesus tells us here in the Gospel of Mark. He gives us important information for last days living. Jesus starts out with something that everybody in the world needs to be reminded of in verse 32. The Bible says there, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." The rapture of the church is the best kept secret in the universe. Nobody knows. The Bible says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." But wait a minute. What about Gene Dixon? Gene Dixon, the psychic, said that Jesus would return in 2020. Guess what? She was wrong. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." But wait a minute. What about everyone that said Jesus would return when the Mayan calendar ended in 2012? Do you remember all that fuss? Guess what? They were wrong. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." But wait a minute. What about Brother Harold Camping? Remember Harold Camping? He said that Jesus would return on the 21st of May, 2011, when the Lord didn't return that day. He said, "You know what? I got a decimal off here in my calculations. I'm off just a little bit." He said that Jesus would return on the 21st of October, 2011. Guess what? He's wrong twice. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." But wait a minute. What about all those people that said the computers would crash at Y2K, and disaster would plague the world in the year 2000, and then Jesus would return then. Guess what? They're wrong. But of that day and that hour, knoweth no man. But wait a minute. When I was a kid, there was this guy that wrote this book. He stirred everyone up with this book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. When that didn't happen, he wrote a sequel to the book. Man, this guy sold millions of copies of this thing, too. When the rapture didn't happen in 1988, he wrote a sequel that said 89 reasons why Jesus is going to return in 1989. Guess what? He was wrong both times. There have been hundreds of date setters through the centuries. They've all been wrong. The Mayans didn't know when he was coming. Nostradamus doesn't know when he's coming. NASA doesn't know when he's coming. The next nut who gives you a date doesn't know when he's coming. Walk away from that guy. Since we don't know when he's coming, the point for us is we should be reminded, and Jesus reminded, that he could come today. He says nobody knows. He says, but be watching. Look at verse 33. The Bible says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. The word watch there is a very strong word. It literally means to stay awake. It means to be at your very, very best in these last days. The rapture of the church will be the most earth-shattering event since the universal flood of Noah. The rapture could happen before I finish this sentence. The rapture could happen before supper tonight. It could happen next month. It could happen next year. It could happen 10 years from now. We don't know when it's going to happen. So Jesus says, watch. What does it mean to be watching in these last days? Well, I think there are three truths that are found right here in the Word of God. I want to point all three of these out to you this morning. First of all, if you're waiting on Jesus, you're looking for Jesus. You are looking for Jesus. Notice verse 34. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Now, understand what that verse is saying to us. Watchfulness has nothing to do with going to heaven. Watchfulness is all about pleasing Jesus. He says, don't let me return and find my servants not at work. You know, I'm the staff evangelist for Southwest Radio Ministries. I haven't always been an evangelist, but it's always kind of been something I wanted to do. Years ago, when I was a young man and the Lord first called me to preach, I thought for a minute I was going to be a traveling evangelist and travel around, preach at churches. Do y'all remember, when I was a little boy, my mama used to take me to see all those traveling evangelists. I used to go to churches when they had these evangelists come in for revivals. The thing that I remember most about those evangelists when I was a little boy is they all had a polyester suit. Do y'all remember polyester suits? I remember one guy that I went to see when I was a little boy preacher. This preacher had a blue polyester suit. It was a kind of a powder baby blue suit. His shoes were powder blue. His pants were powder blue. His tie was powder blue. His jacket, his shirt, even his belt, which he wore on the outside of his jacket, was powder blue. So when I got called to the ministry, the first thing I did was I went out to buy me a powder blue polyester suit. Guess what? They don't even sell powder blue polyester suits at Goodwill in the used clothes. You can't find one anywhere. So I just went out and got this dark jacket. My wife picked it out for me. Then I remember all those traveling evangelists when I was a little kid, all of them had great big hair. They all had big hair. So I washed my hair with some baby shampoo to try to get it to stick up, to tease it up a little bit. And then I got it all poofed up there, got my hair all poofed up, and I sprayed my wife used to have that Aquanet. I sprayed a can of that Aquanet, my wife's Aquanet on that hair and got it all
Christ, and he was really preaching, and then all of a sudden he stopped and he did like this. And he put his hand up to his ear and he says, "What's that I hear? Listen, is that a shout? Is that a trumpet? The next sound you hear may be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I remember being a little kid and that just really had an influence on me. And I thought, wow, I can't wait till I can preach somewhere and I'm going to use that same little trick that that guy used. I finally got invited when I was starting out preaching to this little church, a little community church in Southeast Oklahoma, kind of a little one-room church in a little community called Boswell. You've heard of being in the middle of nowhere? Boswell is 20 miles south of the middle of nowhere, okay? They must have had high attendance that day because people came from all over to hear me preach, all three of them. But it didn't matter. I was excited to preach to that congregation in Boswell. Now, I was going to preach that day on the second coming. I had my suit on, had my hair all teased up, and I was going to add that. I got my sermon on the second coming, and I was going to add that little twist on the end. You know what I'm saying? I was going to do that little thing. What's that I hear on the end? I'm ready. I'm fired up. Now, that little church in Boswell, Oklahoma did not have air conditioning. So all the windows were open. And it was August in Oklahoma. And all the windows to that church were open. And all these little birds had flown into that church. And there were all these little sparrows. And they were flying around up in the rafters. I'm not making this up. There were all these little birds flying up in the rafters. My wife was about 8 months pregnant with our first child. She was sitting on an uncomfortable 11 pew. Birds flying around. About 100 degrees in that church. My upper neck started to give out. My hair started to droop. I was sweating through my new suit. I looked over at my wife. She was pregnant with our first baby, about 8 months pregnant. I looked over at her. She had this look on her face like, "Preacher boy, this sermon better be a short sermon. It's hot in here." In a handful of people in that little congregation, there was a little boy. He must have been about 5. And he wasn't paying any attention to my sermon. He wasn't paying any attention to my sweating. He wasn't paying any attention to my awkward group. He was watching those birds flying around up in the rafters. Anyway, I was really preaching that day. I was pacing back and forth. I was, "Oh, the Lord's going to return. Everything is going to, he's going to return." And then I felt like I had that crowd, all three of them on the edge of their seats. So I did that. I did that little twist. I jumped back. I did it like this. I said, "What's that I hear?" That little boy stood up. He said, "It's them birds, preacher. It's them birds." That ended my days as a traveling evangelist. I'm just going to tell you. Everybody in that church house started laughing. I looked over at my wife. She was laughing harder than anybody else in that church house. I thought she was going to laugh herself into labor. See, the point of that story is this. I wasn't ready for that little boy to stand up and shout. And I'm telling you, there are some Christians, some believers, who are not going to be ready when the archangel shouts. That's why Jesus warns us here to wake up. Back at the beginning of Mark chapter 13, Jesus' disciples asked him a powerful question. They asked, "When is this age going to end?" And over the next few verses, the Lord gives some signs of what the world will look like before he comes again. Jesus gives signs that are relevant to us right here today. First, confusion. Jesus
shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I'm telling you, we're living in a day of deception, church. Today there are more false religions and cults than there ever has been. Jesus says that's deception. We've got Satanism, we've got witchcraft. Jesus says that's deception. We have New Age philosophy, deception. The apostate church, deception. The Bible teaches that in the last days, the church would have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. Deception. We, you and I, are living in an age of deception. 78% of Americans, I saw a recent study, almost 80% of Americans claim to be Christian, but only one-third of that group believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Only 52% of that group believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The other 48% says there's all kinds of ways. You can get there through Buddha, through all kinds of ways. We're living in a day of deception, a day of confusion. Notice here also Jesus said many will claim to be Christ. At the end of the age, men will claim to be Jesus. Today, right now, there are 3 million websites that are either posted by men who claim to be Christ or are put there by someone who claims that they'll introduce you to a man who is Christ. Jim Jones convinced 918 people to drink Kool-Aid and kill themselves, claimed he was Christ. Marshall Applewhite, the Heaven's Gate co-founder, talked 39 people into killing himself by claiming he was Christ. David Koresh, Herbert Armstrong, Ellen White, by the way, on my radio program, every time I say something against Seventh-day Adventists, they call and complain and gripe. Ellen White, cult, false teacher. Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell. These are just a few of the wackos that have made messianic claims, and people believed them. We're living in a time of spiritual confusion. Jesus also said this end of this age would be a time of conflict. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, and when ye shall hear of wars, and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. We're living in a generation that I don't care what they say. I was in the Army for 25 years. We're still at war. Our country is still at war. We have troops all over the world that are engaged in combat. Even though we had a fiasco in Afghanistan, we still have troops in Iraq. We still have troops all around the world. Our country has basically been in a state of war since September 11, 2001. My children have never lived in an America. It's not a war. Islam has declared war on the world. At the very core teaching of the Islamic faith are these words, and I quote, to exterminate all Christians and Jews from off the face of the earth. The other day I went to the dentist's office, and there was a stack of magazines in the dentist's office. So I reached out there and I picked up a magazine, and I was thumbing through them and I found an issue from February 13th, 2012. I know my dentist is cheap and he needs to spring for some new magazines, but I was glad that I found this one from 2012 because on the cover was a picture of Jesus Christ spotted with blood. The article was titled, The War Against Christians. The article said that in the last 7 years, crimes against Christians and churches in Asia, Africa, Sudan, Korea, China, and India had increased by 309%. The writer of that article, who was not a Christian, said Christian churches in America had better wake up because it's coming to our shores with greater frequency. That article was 10 years ago. 10 years old. I'm telling you, it's already here. We are living in the perilous times that the Bible said would come. Jesus also said the end of this age would be a time of spiritual confusion, international conflict, and also catastrophes. Jesus said natural catastrophes would increase at the end of the age. We see that there in verse 8. The Bible says, for nation shall rise against nation. By the way, that speaks of people groups, nations in internal. It speaks of ethnic groups and cultures. Have you ever seen a nation so racially and culturally divided as America is today? For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. You know, the strongest, most horrendous earthquakes in all of world history have happened in the last 15 years. In 1992, there were 4,000 recorded earthquakes. 10 years later, in 2012, that doubled to 8,000. 5 years later, that increased to 13,000. There were 17,000 recorded earthquakes last year. Now, I know I get a lot of flack. Some people say, well, you can't count on that. They're up and they're down. Jesus talked about that. We mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. Jesus said they would increase in frequency and in intensity like birth pains with a woman. So we see that. We see earthquakes going up. Sometimes they go down, up and down. But we see them getting stronger and more intense each and every time. Look at the rest of that verse. The Bible says, and there shall be famines and trouble. These are the beginnings of sorrows. The word troubles means disturbances. We are living in a time of killer tornadoes, terrible hurricanes, superstorms. Every time you turn on the news, the headlines just scream out, Jesus is coming soon. Kind of like that old thing, I got good news and I got bad news. Let's start with the bad news. The world is falling apart. It's a mess. World's not going to get any better. Bad news. Plagues, natural disasters, famines, bad news. Rapes, school shootings, church shootings, bad news. The world is falling apart. But here's the good news. This world is not my home. I am just a pilgrim passing on through to another place. That's good news. Jesus is coming someday to take me home again. Glory, hallelujah. Well, I didn't mean to take up that much time on my first point. Pastor Mike said I could preach 3 or 4 hours if I wanted to. Y'all didn't laugh at that very hard. I didn't mean to take up that much time on my first point, so I'll be quicker on the second point here. Here's my second point. We've seen that we need to be looking for Jesus. Now my second point, we need to be listening for Jesus. Drop back down to verse 35. Bible says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Jesus is going to return. The Bible says he's going to return in the sky. He's going to return in the clouds. The Bible tells us he's going to return with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. I don't know about you, but I'm listening. I'm listening because the trumpet of the living God could sound at any moment. And then we'll be raptured up. Woo! What a thrill ride that'll be. Just last month, I lost my mind. And I let my wife and kids talk me into going to Six Flags over Texas. You know, there ought to be a law. If you're over a certain age, you should not get on a thrill ride. My kid said, Dad, we want to ride the Superman Tower of Power. I said, okay, go ahead. I don't care. Knock yourself out. My wife says, well, I don't know if it's safe for them to ride by themselves. Your dad's going to have to ride with you. I said, do what? Now, I'm the man at my house. I run things at my house. I run the dishwasher. I run the vacuum. Run whatever my wife tells me to run. So the next thing I know, I'm getting fitted into this Superman, the Tower of Power ride. 32 stories tall. The Tower of Power picks you up. Then it drops you. Then it picks you up. Then it drops you. It went from zero to 100 miles an hour when it picked you up. I'm a grown man.
I'm pretty tough. I've been in combat. But when that tower of power jerked me up and dropped me, I screamed like a little baby. I'm just telling you. When I got off that thing, I was kind of pale. The world was kind of doing like this. I was all sick looking. My wife said, "Honey, what's wrong with you?" I said, "My bladder is where my brain used to be." But the thrill ride of the ages is yet to come. I'm listening for the shout because it's going to be an exciting trip, ladies and gentlemen. Look at verse 36. The Bible says, least coming suddenly. That word suddenly means swiftly or quickly. When you put it all together, when you put all the scripture together on the rapture, it's mind-boggling. 1 Thessalonians says we're going to be caught up. That means jerked up or snatched off the earth. 1 Corinthians said it'll be in the twinkling of an eye. An eye blinks 1/50th of a second. A twinkling is faster than a blinkling, if that's a word, I don't know. The twinkling of an eye can't be measured. It's faster than the speed of light. At the rapture, we're going to be snatched up off this planet by the Lord faster than the speed of light. I read about this man named Felix Baumgartner back in October 2012. Some of you may remember this. Felix Baumgartner did an amazing thing. He's known as Fearless Felix. He's a daredevil. He went up in a 55-story silver helium balloon. That balloon took him up in the air 128,000 feet, 24 miles above the earth. Felix stepped out of that balloon on a little platform. Then he jumped off of it. He wasn't wearing anything but a helmet and a high-pressurized spacesuit. He fell at 834 miles per hour. He was going four times faster than a passenger jet. He broke the sound barrier as he was falling, and he landed in 4 minutes. It took him 4 minutes to fall 24 miles, and he set the world record as the man who traveled the fastest. Now, that doesn't excite me at all. I'm not excited about how fast I can fall. But I am excited about how fast I can fly. Because one of these days I'm going to blast off. I'm going to fly away. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. I am excited about listening for the sound of the trumpet. The trumpet announces royalty. I'm listening for the trumpet of the King of Glory. I'm listening for the trumpet of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. I'm listening for the trumpet of Jesus. And when I hear it, glory, hallelujah, I'll fly away. Well, not only is it going to be an exciting trip, the Bible says it's going to be an exclusive trip. It's going to be an exclusive trip, folks. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, least coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. He is speaking to believers, and he makes a statement that reminds Christians to be awake because the Master is coming. The rapture of the church is not for everybody. It's an exclusive trip. It requires a reservation. You've got to have a ticket. First class air, Jesus, bought and paid for, glory, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb of God. It's an exclusive trip. Not everybody's going to make it. Have y'all heard the story about the youth pastor who kept falling asleep in the church staff meeting? Story goes, the youth pastor kept falling asleep in the church staff meeting. So one day while he was sitting there asleep, staff laid some clothes in the chairs there. They all walked out of the room. Then somebody reached around the corner and blew a trumpet. That youth pastor never fell asleep in a staff meeting again. Now that's a funny story. But being left behind in the rapture is nothing to laugh about. I got lost loved ones. I got lost family members.